Mania wide open. Got it. On the 1, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
He goes and fights and pushes.
And he gets
right at the goal line. And it is caught and juggled and caught. Touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
It is all over. The Browns have won it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Pretty, it was not, but you take it. You take the Browns' 6-3 victory over the Seahawks because they're 3-3. And 3-3 at this stage of the season was what I think many of you thought would be a good record and maybe exceeding the expectations of some others. You take it because wins are so extremely difficult to come by in this league. Extremely difficult. Ask the Colts, ask the Dolphins, ask a lot of teams that have been on the short end this year, a lot. You take it because you've got to build on something. After two losses in a row, there needs to be something that stops bleeding and that allows the team to kind of regroup and get itself going as it moves forward. Two difficult road trips ahead to San Francisco and Houston. So you take it, you take it, you take it. And that's what the Browns are doing. This is a review show. We're going to look back at yesterday's game. Going to break it down with Bernie Kosar, making the first of his two weekly visits. Going to break it down with the roundtable, Jimmy Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. The four of us are going to get together and break it down further for you that way. We take your questions on this show to our official Browns Facebook page. And Jeff asks, plain and simple, what is going on with this offense? And Jeff, the answer is not all that plain and simple. I think there's a growth and development and growing pains and maybe a lot of pains at that quarterback position. But I think it's also complicated by some injuries, a lot of injuries in front of him, around him, on the sides of him. You know, who does he have to throw to? His best target right now is a rookie wide receiver who could be a very good one, but when teams are leaning on rookies as their best talent at wide receiver, that could be a problem. And that's not to say Greg Little isn't exceptional or can be exceptional, I should say. He's got a long way to go to prove what he is, but in the early stages here, we like what we see. But that makes a statement, an overwhelming statement about what this offense is about. But so too does concussion by Ben Watson, or concussion for Ben Watson, concussion for Mohamed Massaquah, seeing those guys on an injury list just growing and growing. And then the offensive line, Sean LaVal now with the bruise to his knee. So that's that. That's how I see it. And it's not a simple answer, but yeah, there's a lot going on with the offense. Not all of it good. A lot of great things going on with this Browns defense. We'll talk about that as well. And your poll question, our daily poll question to you, and on Monday after a game, we ask you who should get the game ball for the Browns 6-3 victory over the Seahawks. The choices, and this is on the Browns official Facebook page, Phil Dawson, two field goals, T.J. Ward forced a fumble, Montario Hardesty ran really hard, or Chris Obanaya. Those two running backs on this team, and Chris, the newcomer. So vote for that. We'll give those results at the end of the show. All right, coming up very soon for you in a matter of a couple of minutes is a conversation with the one and only Bernie Kosar on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. It's in stores now as we listen to a little Queen here. Yep, EA Sports, it's in the game. Rocking out on a Monday. ESPN, 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. With over 30 years in Northeast Ohio, it's certain Liberty Ford will make your next vehicle purchase an easy one. A friendly and knowledgeable staff paired with high-quality customer service makes the Liberty experience impossible to beat. Plus, their guaranteed financing, award-winning service department, and body shop. Just add to it. Visit Liberty Ford today or go to libertyford.com.
We wake up before the sun and lace them up while the world still slumbers. We hit the gym, the streets, the weights, the box scores, and the naysayers as one. Because team is not something you do alone. Team is plural. together we are. Russell Athletic.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12. True to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
The inbound East Shoreway before Dead Man's Curve, accident on the right shoulder back into East 72nd. You're getting by in just the left lane. Police and emergency crews are on the scene, and then you're slow on the Interbell southbound Superior to 77. 90 eastbound after Route 91, center lane blocked with an accident. Traffic slowing down approaching. 71 southbound, heavy 480 to snow. 271 southbound, slow 422 to Forbes. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR Traffic.
They told me I'm not a Clevelander unless I play a little Michael Stanley band during the show. So guess what? We're playing some Michael Stanley band during the show. Yeah, bring a little energy to this party. Okay, I like it. And you're back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah.
And joining us, as he always does each week, and joining us after a victory, which I know is his favorite way of being part of this show, is the one and only Bernie Kosar. Bernie, welcome.
Well, you're exactly right. We talked about it on Friday, about how we wanted to feel good about a nice W on Monday. I'm not quite sure that's the scenario we drew up and how to get to the W, but in a result-oriented world, to just get that W feels good.
It really does. And yes, we could call it everything we want to call it, ugly, setting football back, all these kinds of things that you want to describe it as. But the truth of the matter is, after two losses, and you talk about ugly losses, you talk about losses that have raised doubts about where this team is or where it's going. I think having a win of any kind can at least stem that tide and address that. I mean, how important is it to the psyche of a team to break that streak, stop that bleeding?
Well, I think from the internal locker room perspective, it's very important. Could you imagine the feelings if you would have been on the other side of that yesterday and weren't able to at least get the W? It's so much easier, I think, to correct mistakes, to try to get better, to feel positive about things after a win. Albeit, yeah, there's plenty of things we could point at that didn't go good yesterday. But when you're correcting them after a win, significantly better.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of the things that happened. First of all, in a departure of script, where this team had thrown the ball so much, 61 times against Tennessee, 45 times against Oakland, to now get into a game where they're running the football 33 times, and albeit not with a ton of success, Bernie, I thought the persistence of Pat Shurmur to run the football was a very good idea and something that probably made the difference in their ability to stay in this game that obviously was being carried by the Browns defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. For Hardesty to pick up the slack with Peyton Hillis not being in there, to stick with it, and especially the first couple quarters to early in the third, the running game was tough to stick with. But you saw kind of the fruits of that labor and the fruits of sticking with it in the second half and the second half of the fourth quarter, when we were able to kind of run a lot of the clock out, run the ball down, and albeit we did get two field goals blocked yesterday, really it was the running game that put us in a position to keep the ball away from Seattle and to give us those opportunities inside the red zone, especially the fourth quarter.
And look, we know what the Browns running game has looked like at its very best, and at its very best in recent times, it's been Peyton Hillis, the slammer up the middle, the power. But now it is Montario Hardesty, at least currently, while Peyton's out, and you have a guy who is more of a slipperier player, of a speedier player. But I thought, Bernie, he showed me, even when he didn't get gains, even when somebody was meeting him in the hole and slamming him to the ground, I saw a guy who was still showing me something in the way of toughness and persistence and really that grit that I think a running back has to have.
Yeah, and as evidenced by the fact that the majority of his yards and the longer carried plays almost all transpired in that fourth quarter. If he didn't have that determination, if he didn't have any toughness, those first 25 carries would have wore him out, and you'd have saw him either not getting a ball slash or tailing off at the end, whereas them last 5 to 8 carries were significant aggressive runs that gave us some key first downs and kept the chains moving on more than one or two occasions.
And I know it's only one game and he didn't have a lot of touches, but the ones that he did have were eye-opening and impressive. Chris Obanaya looks like a nice addition, a guy who runs well with he's got that smooth gliding style, and I like the fact that he catches the ball extremely well, had the 5 receptions, which really, and that put him as the receiving leader for this football team, really is the sort of thing that in this offense is so vital.
Well, the first impressive that you got the name Chris Obanaya right, coming from the Texan practice squad. I thought it was in a week where Carson Palmer made the switch, and we see how tough it is, albeit at the quarterback position, for guys to come and join a team early in the week and then try to learn a system, for Chris to come in and get that amount of touches, but more importantly, get productive touches was definitely a key part to helping the offense control the end of the game.
Bernie Kosar joining us, the first of his two weekly visits here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's talk a little bit about Colt McCoy, Bernie. Not the best of days, certainly for him. Had the 20 of 35 on his passing grid, 178 yards, a passer rating of 59, was intercepted. All in all, a day where I thought he had some issues with accuracy, had some issues with discomfort in the pocket. Clearly his protection was not the best. So all in all, a day where when it was all said and done, you knew this wasn't really going to be where Colt McCoy was going to make that much of a difference, I guess, for the Browns with his arm, although he did do some nice work with his legs.
Well, and again, I like to stay away from saying when I played, but that being said, when I played, one of the things, because of it was a nice day yesterday, but one of the things that you kind of get into when you play in areas like we have, and all, yes, it was a nice day, but it was a little windier at times than people thought, is I wanted to outdo the other quarterback. I wanted to play better than him, and if you play better than the opposing team's quarterback, odds are you have a higher chance of winning the game. And called is for the people who are picking on some of the things. Played better than Charlie Whitehurst. Had the one turnover. Other than that, was careful with the football and ran the ball to get a couple key first downs. Definitely had a few throws that he wants back. But at the end of the day, he did what he had to and played it close to the vest because that's the way the game was kind of stacking up yesterday. And again, this is definitely one where you'd rather have the W to learn from and grow from than be Seattle and Charlie Whitehurst and be on the 3 end and the L side of it.
And it was really such a progressively difficult day for the passing game when you lose a Ben Watson to a head injury, Muhammad Massaquah to a head injury, you lose Sean Laval as a guard, you have him carted off. So the body blows to this offense are mounting, and I guess as we fast approach the middle of this season, it's got to raise some concerns, and it doesn't look like the job for Colt McCoy is going to get much easier. He's taken a lot of hard hits, so something has to be done to remedy that, and I'm not sure, Bernie, if in a simple sense you can assess what needs to happen kind of to go forward to at least remedy this. I don't know that it's a case of the passing game suddenly becoming stupendous, but at least efficient and safer for Colt McCoy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's showing that he doesn't wear down or back down from tough hits and tough defenses. But it is something where the passing game and getting that operating at another level, a higher level, will take some of the hits, take some of the tough things away from him, because right now having to kind of make plays on the run and making things the way they've been going, it's not the best to do that consistently, especially as the season's wearing on and teams are starting to get a little more into their groove.
And another, I guess, positive that we take away from this game is the play of this defense. And for the most part this year, I would say you can be satisfied that the defense has been solid. It was exceptional yesterday. Yeah, obviously, you don't win without that kind of performance. But all in all, Bernie, how impressed are you with where this defense is now after six games?
Well, that's the thing, that it's almost a shame that after such a phenomenal performance by the defense, that it's about the fourth or fifth thing on people's list to talk about. That was a fantastic game by Dick Geron and the guys under to take the field for him, with Scott Fujita not being there, with Joe Hayden being a game time decision. I thought the guys stepping up like they did, and again the dominance up front, where you control the line of scrimmage. And yeah, Charlie Whitehurst wasn't playing very good and they were missing some of their key people, but you still have to stop them, and the defense more than did that yesterday.
Yeah, I thought so, and very impressive that they adjusted to the fact that, you know, they were preparing for a team to do the hurry up fast-paced no-huddle thing, which is what they started in, what they had done their two previous games, but then got away from it quickly. So, yeah, they having Chris Gokong work at strong side linebacker, having Kaluka Maeva step in for Gokong on the weak side, you mentioned Hayden. There were, for a lot of reasons, this defense overcame some things.
Yeah, and I granted, all teams at this point in the season have injuries and things they have to overcome, but the beauty of football is that excuses don't matter and talk don't matter. The results do, and the defense more than put up results yesterday.
Great stuff, Bernie. As always, we will talk to you on Friday as we preview a very tough game coming up at San Francisco.
Thanks. We'll preview the handshakes from Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah, we got to do that too. All right, that is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterbacking great, joining us as he always does on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Like Northeast Ohio's best-selling truck, Ford F-Series and Ranger, Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now, available with 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 in rebate. That's 0 for 60, plus $1,000 on Ford Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Lincoln, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermillion, Stone. Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your way. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports.
This Saturday is UFC 137, and it features a main event fight between former two-divisional champion BJ Penn against former Strikeforce champion Nick Diaz. This fight was originally slated as the co-main event, but a knee and hamstring injury to UFC welterweight champion George Rush St. Pierre has forced that title fight with him and Carlos Condit off. Jack Congo and Matt Mitrione will move up to the evening's co-main event. The fight card will also feature heavyweights Roy Nelson and Mirko Krokop and the UFC debut of highly touted featherweight Hatsu Aoki.
The MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
Hey, it's me, your car. You know how much salt they're going to dump on the roads this winter? Protect your vehicle with genuine Z-Bart rust protection now and save $50. Z-Bart, it's us or rust. Visit ZBart.com for a location near you.
PeppermillPubAndGrill.com.
Hey, Cleveland, tired of hearing the phrase, wait until next year.
Next year.
Well, at Medina Volkswagen Mazda, next year is now. Medina Volkswagen Mazda is ushering in a new era of unbelievable savings with their 2012 fleet of award-winning fuel-efficient vehicles. Get ready to sign and drive. Lease the all-new Volkswagen Passat, made right here in the USA for only $229 per month and zero money down. With nothing due at signing, the 2012 Passat also comes equipped with Volkswagen's 3-year, 36,000-mile carefree maintenance program. The best deals are all right here. It's time to sign and drive at Medina Volkswagen Mazda, Cleveland's home to the low price guarantee. So check them out today for your chance to lease the all-new Passat for only $229 per month and zero down on Pearl Road in Medina. Or check them out anytime at MedinaVWMazda.com. Plus tax and title, 10,000 miles per year with approved credit. Out of dealer stock by 10/31.
On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. And this roundtable review, part one, is driven by Liberty Ford. Monday, so we convene the members of the roundtable to review yesterday's game, the 6-3 victory against the Seahawks. And joining us is Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network. Great to have you back with us, buddy.
Thank you very much, Vic. Incidentally, I had on a small piece of paper put down 6-3 Browns on Friday, but as in the Catholic Church, when they're voting for a new pope, those things have to be burned in the in that little fireplace. When
liar, pants on fire.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Did you were suggesting maybe something else should be burned, right? Yeah. The video of that game. and of course, Tom Withers from the Associated Press.
Vic, how you doing? I had a 31-20 final, so I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah, just
so. So again, all the adjectives that apply to a game like this, and maybe one that sets football back a little bit, offensively at least. Defensive coordinators, you know, they love this stuff, but that phrase "a win is a win," and how important it was just for this team to get the win, Jimmy. That's what's resonating here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there was a little bit of a shaky psyche coming in after losing to Tennessee, and I think really being kind of handled in that game, and then losing out in Oakland, and having the bye week in there too. That's a lot of time to be thinking about a loss, and then coming back, and then losing again. So that's a lot of time, and that can shake you up a little bit. And But I will say this. I have to tell you, since they have come back in 1999, I have never seen them play from start to finish as good a defensive game as they played yesterday. There have been other games where they've gotten quarterback pressure, but they've given up a big running attack in the game. I just thought from every facet of their defense, I thought they were great.
I thought it was a gritty grinder yesterday. I mean, offensively, yeah, they didn't score any points, but you look at that third down conversions, 50%. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But with that said, Hardesty came back and he had a good game. He had a lot of carries. The thing that I guess kind of bothered you on the offensive side, there was a lot of pressure with just four guys coming, and that's something that's got to be solved. And next time, I'm telling Jimmy not to bet the over.
as we look at this game defensively, I think it's easy to forget that you want to. A lot of people want to focus on just okay how ugly it was, how absent the offense was in every respect. Mm-hmm. But Tom, defensively, this really was something that was impressive. I mean, they didn't just succeed because the Seahawks were inept. They did a lot to force the Seahawks to struggle.
Yeah, and throughout that defense too. I mean, they got pressure up front. The linebackers played well. The cornerbacks did their job. You know, it was nice to have Joe Hayden back out there. So I don't mean to throw a big bucket of cold Gatorade on everybody, but you know that was Charlie Whitehurst out there.
Right.
Marshawn Lynch was standing on the sideline holding the ball in the helmet. I thought he was going to make an appearance at some point. It sure looked like it at one point. They were also missing, you know, starting tight end and center. So you know that's not the greatest offensive team they went against. All that said, though, I agree with Jimmy 100%. That is as good as the Browns' defense has played over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they backed them out of the 2-minute offense, the hurry-up offense. I think Dick Geron did a good thing during the course of the week, showing them the tapes of the TV so they could get the rhythm down, as opposed to the tapes that the players usually watch, where it's play after play after play,
right?
And you don't get a feel for the timing. And I think that really helped them.
Yeah, and I think for the injuries and the problems that they had, and I'm not so sure that Charlie Whitehurst, from what I listened to in the building here, just talking to some of the coaches, I'm not sure he was the worst of the two quarterbacks. In fact, I think there was some school of thought that Tavares Jackson would have been a preferred guy to see, just because not the greatest accuracy, not maybe always the greatest decisions, a little scattershot in what he does. He does run better, but Charlie Whitehurst, yeah, no mobility and maybe no great feel for an offense that was humming with Tavares Jackson those 2 weeks in the no huddle. So they got away from that because of their injury issues, maybe with Marshawn Lynch and their lack of success. But you know what? The Browns had some issues too. Scott Vegeta was not in there, and they had to reshuffle that linebacking.
Well, just to skip back, though, on Whitehurst, he finished that giant win off for them.
Right.
I mean, he went 11 for 19.
He rallied them. Yeah,
he rallied them, and he went 11 for 19. So, I mean, that wasn't in the garage that they had a victory that day, and he kind of finished it off when Jackson got injured in the game. You're right. Anytime you're missing Fujita, and I thought when Fujita went out of that defense last year in that Jet game and never returned because of the knee injury, I thought that defense was lost.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't have to call Jackson at that point last year, but I thought that a loss like Fujita meant a great, great deal to that defense. And they were able to come around from that.
But they played into the Browns' hands because they played a lot of three wide receiver sets. So then you take Mayave out there and you have an extra defensive back.
Right.
So they were doing us a favor by playing all those three wide receiver sets.
I thought it was a nice sign, too, yesterday that DeQuell didn't have to make 30 tackles. You know, it seemed like it was really spread out. The guys were really involved. And I thought up front, I thought, you know, while their numbers didn't jump off the stat sheet, I thought Reuben and Taylor both played great games.
They were impressive, and the front was consistently getting penetration, whether it was getting heat on Whitehurst or stuff in the run, whatever they had for a running game. And it wasn't much without Marshawn Lynch, so that's granted you go there. But in terms of how this team played team defense, warm to the football, I mean, that's what you have in mind. And maybe, just maybe, it takes six games. Not that the defense has played poorly for much of this year, and that is where most of the talent of this team resides. But doesn't it take a little while for what Dick Geron introduced as a new scheme, a conversion to this 4-3, to kick by the sixth game?
Well, yeah, I mean, it takes time, you know, getting to know the people you're playing with and what they're trying to get. But the thing is, they went into the game seventh. They came out of the game fourth.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the three teams in front of them are Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, all in our division.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to make ground on that defensively. But, I do see a lot of the quote, work in progress stuff, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, where this young talent is really coming to fruition, and it's paying off. And I think foundationally, if you're looking at something to take away with this football team and why it can get better, why there would be reason for hope, you point to Taylor, you point to Sheard, yeah. You certainly point to the two guys from last year, Hayden and Ward, and Reuben, and throw them all into the mix. The way DeQuell Jackson, really the first time healthy in 3 years, what this all means. These aren't minor developments.
No. You know, Vic, I think it's been consistent now through the six games played that I think whoever the opposition is, very early on in the game, they recognize that Jabal Sheard is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to continue to come all day long. And he comes at the end of the game almost as hard as he comes at the beginning of the game. So he got that sack early in the ball game, and I think Whitehurst knew that he was coming the rest of the day. And I think that that's consistent with no matter what quarterback it's been every week.
Yeah, I think Doug could identify it better than I could, obviously, but he doesn't seem to be making the rookie mistakes he was early on, over-pursuing, kind of running himself out of play.
Well, he was playing with his eyes, I think, too much early on, where he just, you know, was going for things and not really playing his responsibility. But now, you know, I think you probably get your butt chewed a few times, and, you know, you do it the way you're supposed to.
It's the round table. We are reviewing yesterday's 6-3 victory against the Seahawks. The Browns win with Jimmy Donovan and Doug Deacon and Tom Withers. Guys, as we look at the offensive side of the ball, where and we could probably end this discussion in 5 seconds. I'm hoping to stretch it out here a little bit. But in light of what we saw or didn't see, let's start with the problems that began in the passing game. And I guess the first place that is not sitting all that well with me is the pass protection or lack thereof. Are we talking about this being a simple case of the two younger players, Jason Pinkston and Sean Laval, while he was in there before he left with an injury, being just overwhelmed and everything else is pretty solid, or is it much bigger than that? What did you see, Doug, in terms of that O-line?
It looked like they were having problems with picking up the big guys inside, and they were getting, and I think, you know, teams have kind of realized if you can keep Colt in the pocket, you know, with the ends up the field and just get the pressure up the middle, you know, you can get good pressure on him. And the pass protection was very inconsistent yesterday, and that's a problem, especially when you're trying to develop a young quarterback.
Well, yeah, and you just have to hope that these kids get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if the payoff is that you keep playing them,
yeah.
Okay, and that, you know, down the road you say, hey, there were some hiccups way back when we played against Seattle and when we played against the Raiders and things like that, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I guess what you hope for is that the longer they're in there, the sturdier they get, the more they see, and the quicker they recognize what they see, and the better they'll be able to protect.
We knew the Steinbeck injury was going to be a problem all year long, and it has been. And I tell you what, I thought Greco did a nice job when he came in yesterday, too. But to Doug's point, it seemed like the Seahawks were lining up, you know, helmet on center and then right over the top of those guards and coming right up the middle, and that's where they were getting that pressure from. So that's got to be something they're going to have to look at this week.
And they were playing the wide defensive ends just to make sure they contain them in the pocket. But, you know, you looked on the other side of the ball and you saw Robert Gowrie. Now, here's a guy who was a second overall pick. I don't know, did he really play yesterday?
It didn't seem like
he was
a little bit of a injury. Even at that, I mean, you know, he wasn't a great wonder in Oakland. So, you know, to get a couple guys that, you know, late round draft pick and ping somebody who's a sixth or something like fifth, and then Laval was a third. You know, if you can stock your line with that, you know, you're doing pretty good.
Are we going to have to, you know, incorporate into our judgment of Colt McCoy not just what he can do mechanically as a thrower and as a decision maker, but also someone who's dealing with duress, because duress seems to be just pretty much a standard part of what he's doing game in and game out now, and whether it's tucking and running the with the football, he had 8 runs for 31 yards, he had a nice 12-yard carry. I mean, he was coming up big in that department, but he's also taking some serious shots and hits and getting back up, and I guess, you know, the first part of you wants to say that's commendable. You want to applaud that, but you also really want, you're going to start wincing. You don't want to see that as much as we're seeing it, Jimmy.
Well, and Doug, you mentioned it yesterday during the game. You don't want him running 8 times the way he's running.
No.
I mean, even Nick in the first Rocky movie yell to Rocky to stay down, right? I mean, you know, at some point. He does keep getting up. And I'll tell you the other thing, he never shows up his offensive line.
Yeah. No, it's
he really never shows up his offensive line. And I say to him, boy, I commend him for that.
You'd be screaming and yelling, wouldn't you?
I just don't want him to yell, cut me, Mick. That'll be bad. All right, we are just getting started on the roundtable portion. We are going to, in our next segment, deal with game balls from this one. Got a win, finally, to hand out some game balls for the fans. You voted for those on our official Browns Facebook page. We'll give you those results at the end of the show. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans. Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Hi, I need an insurance quote.
You want a quote? Let me give you a quote. I've got quotes, all kinds of quotes. Auto quotes, home quotes, life quotes. What kind of quote do you need?
An auto quote?
We got liability, collision, comprehensive, uninsured, underinsured motorists. Do I hear uninsured, underinsured motorists?
Can you explain to me how...
How about a deductible? Do I hear 2, 50, 500, 500, 1, 000, 1,200?
Could you just slow down? I have a question about how...
We have liability, collision, and uninsured, underinsured motorists with a 250 deductible going once...
Wait, I...
Going twice.
Hold on.
Sold to the woman with a confused look on her face.
It seems like some insurance companies want to rush you through the quote process. Not Liberty Mutual. We believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find the nearest Cleveland area office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to an agent about your auto, home, or life insurance today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Hi, this is Evan Moore, and you are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we are so pleased that you have chosen to spend this portion of your day with us on Cleveland Browns Daily. As the tight end just said, it's driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, Browns fans. Browns single game tickets are still available, but not for long. Purchase your tickets before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns and Rams matchup on Sunday, November 13th at 1 p.m. For more information, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. And this roundtable game ball segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. We continue with the roundtable portion here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. and talking about yesterday's 6-3 win against the Seahawks, left off with a discussion about Colt McCoy. So back to the evaluation thing, and I talked about him being a quarterback that you're evaluating under duress, but how about a quarterback just in general, what he's done through six games and where he is? We had a discussion, I know, in the pregame about kind of grading him, and some of us thought, like myself, incomplete. Others, you and Deke, were thinking, Jimmy, that it was more like a C type of grade, a passing grade, but nothing spectacular. Where are we now after six games?
Well, he does grind it out. I mean, he really does. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, he hung in there out in Oakland in a game that looked like it was over, and he got him back in, and he moves the ball, and he does it, he still does it in small chunks, though, I think. So that's surprising to me. The other thing that's surprising to me, Vic, is that he still seems to be a little inaccurate with throws that I would expect him to make. Mm-hmm. And they're typically, and Pat Shurmur alluded to this today, early in the game. Yep. In other words, if he could get him off and make a couple of quick throws and early throws and get him success, then let's see what we do in the first quarter. But he missed Watson wide open early.
Sure did.
He tried to squeeze one into Cribbs that wasn't there. And it just, that doesn't seem to be his game. That wasn't what I thought we were getting when he came out of college. I didn't know what kind of arm we were getting, but I thought the ball was going to be on time and in the right spot.
But is that a function, Doug, of still getting acclimated and more comfortable with not only the scheme itself as it is presented and very different from what he had last year, the West Coast scheme itself, but the way Pat Shurmur calls it and how he handles it?
Well, I'm not really sure on that one. I think, you know, the one thing we talked about him running too much, and the next thing you don't want to see is the happy feet. I think the thing you want to see is, you know, him get there, get balanced when he makes his throws so he has the ability to be accurate. I watched Breeze last night. You know, he throws a lot of seven-step drops. He throws where he can see down the field. I don't think we do it that a lot, and I don't know if that's his game because of the difference maybe in the arm strength and stuff like that. But, I mean, I guess my thing of Colt is, you know, he's going to make the right read and throw the ball. When you consider the number of passes he's made, the percentage of interceptions is really kind of low. But you know, the accuracy thing, you'd just like to see him more accurate.
Yeah, and guys got to make plays after they catch the ball. I mean, we saw Greg Little yesterday. I mean, we can now say probably that Greg Little is their top offensive playmaker, a rookie wide receiver. So I think you have to take that into account when you start, you know, judging Colt McCoy at this point. And I think it's still, what, how many interceptions did he have at this point? Four?
Yeah, I think so.
Four,
yeah,
right. That's not too shabby. I mean, there was a long, you know, it wasn't long ago that we were talking about guys with, you know, 10 or more interceptions after six games.
Yeah, you don't conventionally trust a rookie to be as important as Greg Little already is for this football team in a big way. And I guess the other thing to keep in mind, or we can't forget, is that before that game was over yesterday, he would not have Ben Watson after the head injury. He would not have Muhammad Massaqua after his head injury. Mm-hmm. And he would lose, again, an offensive lineman and a guard in Sean Laval. So those things matter, I guess, in the assessment. Nobody, quarterbacks don't really get a cut any slack for anything. Oh, yeah, we'll overcome it. But overcome it with what? I cringe at the thought that who is he going to throw to at some point, and how's he going to...
He had a running back in there last night with the name tag. Yeah, hello, my name is Chris.
Exactly. But that brings, and I'm glad it transitions us, and this is the roundtable portion of Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford, that transitions us into talking about this. I thought Pat Shurmur showed me something with the way he came to a realization, and I'm not sure this is as easy for him to do as it might be for some other coaches, that you have to run the football sometimes consistently, persistently, even if it's not working, and even when you don't have your primary guy, Peyton Hillis, who's out with the hamstring injury, in there. I watched it from the press box and said, you've got to do this now, coach. You've got to start running, and you've got to give up the notion that you're setting up the run with the pass in a game this tight and this low scoring.
I'm amazed that they did it. I agree with you about that. And I would have never thought they would have been able to milk that clock over 7 minutes at that point in the game, in a three-point game, and be able to do it basically with big, clutch runs.
Yep.
When before this, they were hitting the wall. I mean, they were hitting walls that was the Seahawks defense. So, I mean, an A for patience and for stick-to-itiveness, because they weren't getting a lot of success, whether it was outside or just slamming it up in the middle. There were a lot of one-yard It's about 1.5 yard gains.
That's as tough a 95 yards as you'll ever see a
back. Absolutely, yeah.
Carries. Wow. I mean, it was really.
But Doug, it has to be a frame of mind. You have to show the opponent that you will try to do this other than a ridiculous lopsided score. But you've got to keep doing this.
Well, you got to do it, and you also have to do it for your offensive line. Otherwise, you hang them out to dry when the other team knows you're going to pass. You know, all the time. And,
right.
And I think there's a lot of coaches. You know, I mean, I'm sure Mike Holmgren was a little pass happy. You know, during his career.
Yeah.
And there were guys in his area, you know, hey, we got to run the ball. And I think, you know, that's one of those things, to make the thing work, you can't have a play action pass if you're not running the ball.
And although, you know, again, as I think about what Pat Shurmur brought here, and I think ideally for West Coast, which is different than the Holmgren version of what was run in San Francisco when Mike was the offensive coordinator there, when he was head coach in Green Bay, because there was a big running component to that. Andy Reid took the running component. I'm not going to say he took it out of it, out of the Eagles' offense, but he diminished it. And that's what Pat Shurmur mostly learned from in 10 years as an assistant there, throw to set that up. But he doesn't have Donovan McNabb at his prime to do that, where you could live on that. I think he wanted to try or wants to try to live on that, but I think he's understanding you've got to give the run.
I think you make a great point, Vic. I think we got to be careful with these labels. I mean, you hear West Coast and you start thinking about, you know, those San Francisco teams and what have you, and you're right, the Philadelphia version of that is a very different animal. So, you know, like you said, I give Pat a lot of credit yesterday. I mean, a lot of the fans here have been crying for the last couple of weeks about not seeing them run the ball enough. Well, he stuck to it yesterday and he got the job done.
And how about Montario Hardesty? Let's give some props to this kid, as you described, Jimmy, hit a lot of walls.
He did.
But I think he shows a toughness. I think he showed a tough-mindedness for a guy who took a lot of ridicule for a couple of weeks.
Well, he did. And how about the gasp in that stadium when they knew that they were throwing him the ball at one point in the game? Everyone went, all right. And he made the catch. I mean, you know, you're just living and breathing with him being able to hold on to it, because I think he can catch the ball. I mean, I really do. I think he got himself into a mental funk.
No.
I give him a lot of credit yesterday. I really do, because once again, he just went in there and he slammed it up in there all day long, and there were a lot of times where there was just nothing there. You know, I could do without the little Scotty Hamilton single axle that he does. You know,
he's really falling in love with that.
He spun right into David Hawthorne a couple of times and didn't get to complete the full revolution. But I give him a lot of credit, and I think that he should be very, very happy with what he did, and they needed him yesterday.
Yeah. So we got a leaper and a spinner in the backfield,
right?
Well, and here's the other thing. When the leaper comes back into action from his hamstring injury, when Peyton Hillis is in there, I would still envision this being, you know, a running game that incorporates Montario Hardesty in a big way. And, oh, by the way, Chris Obanaya certainly gives us something to think about. A very smooth running style from him.
Jimmy pointed out a couple weeks ago, we forget about Brandon Jackson, but now we understand why he would have been a big part of this offense. And now Obanaya can be that guy. 5 receptions yesterday, I think 3 of them went for first down. So he's huge.
And you know what, Tom, you really see, you got to have that kind of guy.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you have to have that kind of guy in the stable.
Yeah, no, and for all that, you know, talking about things that you overcome, as Deke said, he wore the name tag. I mean, who knows him? Who knows his stuff? Mm-hmm. For an offensive line to deal with a guy that it has no clue about his tendencies or his cuts or how he's right, that's something you learn as you work with the guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't worry about the guy back there. You just hope that, you know, he knows the hole where you're trying to create, and then you hope that he doesn't run up your back. But, you know, the way he ran hard yesterday. He had a good burst to the hole yesterday, and he fought for one of those first downs, too.
Definitely, he showed some power to go along with that explosiveness. I maintain that this running game has got to be, as much as we see how it's struggled and what all the issues have been with it, if this offense is going to ever get revived, this has got to be part of that process. I know we say, well, you know, Colt's got to be a much better quarterback, and that's a given, but I don't know that he's getting there without that.
You know, aside from everything else that's gone on in the whole Hillis situation, he has to get his season started. Yeah. This season hasn't even started. I mean, you know, that Indianapolis game, okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he must get his season underway and put together game after game after game. Then I think maybe we'll see, you know, some other things loosen up.
Totally. No question about it. Okay, game ball's time, so we can maybe dish a few out here. I don't know how many you're going to give out on the offensive side of the ball. I'm just taking a guess, wild guess there. Let's start with Jimmy Donovan, your game balls.
Well, I'm going to give Hardesty a game ball because I thought he did a great job. I'm going to give Obanaya a game ball because I thought he came in and did a magnificent job just joining them. I'm going to give their running backs coach, Gary Brown, a game ball for getting them ready. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm sure he lived with that kid, Obanaya, from the time that he got here to get him ready. And Joe Hayden just makes you smile with the way he plays. I just thought, I'd like to give the whole defense a game ball for the way they played, but Joe Hayden just settles everything down. I mean, it's like a baby having a blanket that it won't give up till it's 14 years old. You got to have him there with you.
I like it. Doug?
Well, I give one to Hardesty, too. I think, you know, what he meant to that offense yesterday was you needed somebody that was going to get you some yards on the ground, and he took a beating doing it. Defense, I give the whole defense one. I mean, I'm not paying for him, so hell, you know, it's Randy's money. We'll just give him all one. But, yeah, I mean, I think Dick Geron had them prepared, and I think he had them ready to go. And on special teams, I'd give Phil Dawson one. You got two kicks blocked, but that wasn't his fault. But he had 250-plus, what he's never done in his career. And those 6 points were awful big at the end of the game.
And before we move on with game balls, because you brought this up, and I would be remiss if we didn't discuss the issues with the special teams. Are we at panic point here? This is two games in a row where this is a problem.
Well, and it's been a different problem every week, hasn't it? I mean, we've had the long kick return, and now I think yesterday was just a matter of the blocking scheme up front, Doug, wasn't it?
The thing is, when you're on the field goal or extra point team, what you want to call it, you got to be firm to the inside and make yourself big to the outside. Mm. Well, it looked like the guard, you know, went outside and the guy just duped in, inside, and you always got to be firm to, you know, break down the middle.
But that the one penalty away from a punt return touchdown, that was probably a call that shouldn't have been made, but it was, and great for the Browns because you end up getting those calls go against you enough times. So, 2 weeks in a row, a lot to straighten out there. I know that that's going to be a big priority, but it is something that's worried me when I think, and we'll talk about it on Friday, when I think of Ted Ginn Jr. and the return.
Brad Seeley had like six roster spots to his own when he was here for special teams.
Just
guys,
special teams.
Right. You know?
Tom, your game
balls. Back to game balls. I agree with these guys across the board. Hardesty, I mean, again, as tough a 95 yards as you'll get. The new kid in class, Chris Obanaya, real big effort by him. The entire defense has got to get one. Phil Dawson, as it turns out, made those kicks with a bruised thigh yesterday.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure when it happened. It might have been after the first block, and he got involved in the tackle on that. So he was hurting, and then we saw him after the game, you know, getting some treatment as well. So he was a little banged up. And I'll give another ball to Jimmy Donovan, who didn't get his snaps in last week during practice, but was there on game day.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. I'm going to one up on this defensive thing. I'm giving each of them two game balls. I'm going two for each member of the defense because it was astounding to play at that level. I don't care if it was Charlie Whitehurst. I don't care if Marshawn Lynch wasn't there. They did what this team absolutely positively needed them to do, to have a prayer of winning a ball game that still could have been lost if the wrong thing happened or one more wrong thing happened on special teams. Phil Dawson for sure, having and the psyche, I think, of making a field goal that you have to have after having the one block. You know that bothers the kicker, even when he can say it's not my fault, but he doesn't operate that way. Everything bothers Phil, and when the mechanics of all that aren't working. Montario Hardesty for sure, and I'm giving one to Pat Shurmur. I think Pat took this has been a rough couple of weeks for him this past week. Again, I go back to his showing a maturity as a head coach to run that football when he needed to do it, and I hope that is exactly what I think it is, a growing up process for him to kind of see how that has to work, and you know, helping influencing the Chris Obanaya pickup. That's his guy from St. Louis that was brought in there as a seventh round pick. So the personnel department and coaching working well there. All right, great stuff, guys. I appreciate it. We will reconvene on Friday to look ahead to the 49ers game. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Stick around. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The hottest lease deals of the year are going on now at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Save big and lease Liberty's bestsellers, Ford Fusion or Escape, for only $179 a month. That's right, your choice, the fuel-efficient Fusion or Escape for just $179. Great fuel economy, great payment, great choice. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. Everything from automobiles to ATVs, homes to apartments, businesses to life. American Family can protect it. And this personalized coverage all comes at a very affordable price. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Life insurance underwritten by American Family Life Insurance Company. Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance received the top honor for highest in customer satisfaction with the auto insurance purchase experience among consumer shopping for auto insurance in J.D. Power & Associates 2011 Insurance Shopping Study. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit AmFam.com.
My name's Nick, and I'm a doer, which is probably why I started my own landscaping business. I specialize in plant-driven design. I do azaleas. I do lavender shrubs. I even do banana plants. One thing I don't do, sales and promotional materials.
My name's Alex, and I work at the UPS store helping doers like Nick do whatever it is they do or don't do, like color sales brochures, laminated promotional materials, even professionally printed business cards. They just swing by the store or upload their files online, and I take it from there. So while guys like Nick are doing amazing things for their clients, I'm doing some pretty impressive stuff for mine. It's called logistics.
What do you know? Looks like logistics helped me win another piece of business. Yeah, hey, it's Nick.
Doers love logistics. That's why they love the printing and finishing services at the 4,300 convenient locations of the UPS store. Participation, prices, and hours vary by location. See the upsstore.com/print for full details.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. The last time you heard a home alarm siren go off, did you do anything? Sirens are so commonplace, they're ignored. The best way to protect your house is with the voice of a live person, which is why nothing's more effective than Alarm Force's live two-way voice monitoring. With Alarm Force, you get no charge live two-way voice and just $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Ohio's best choice for home security.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Time to give you the poll results. The poll, of course, the daily poll, brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And the question, as we always do on a Monday after a game, is which player gets your game ball? In this case, after the Browns' 6-3 win over the Seahawks, the choices were Phil Dawson, he of two field goals, T.J. Ward, he of a forced fumble. Montario Hardesty, he of 95 very tough yards on 33 carries. And Chris Obanaya, he of the five receptions that led the Browns in his Browns debut. Got here on a Tuesday and caught five passes and ran a few times on a Sunday. You voted. Many of you did. Overwhelmingly great voting, great voting participation. 83% said Phil Dawson. And Jennifer writes, that's why I sport the number 4 jersey every week. Way to go, Phil. And it was way to go, Phil. Overcoming the block was as big a deal as anything else. To make a field goal after that, and he had 2 blocks to deal with. And Montario Hardesty finished a distant second, but Marty said, Dawson may have scored the points, but Hardesty wore the defense down. To our questions posted on our Browns official Facebook page, asked Vic. Stacy asks, how do the Browns deal with their inability to get to the red zone and score touchdowns? Why do we have so many drives that end up in a punt or a turnover instead of a touchdown? And it goes back, Stacy, to the lingering question and point of this offense. It's something that needs fixing, for sure. And I want to see it resolved in the passing game. I want to see more comfort from Colt McCoy. I want to see more accuracy from Colt McCoy. But I guess first and foremost, I want to see more protection for Colt McCoy. That's one of the biggest questions. And Spencer asks, speaking of Colt, Colt has great pocket presence and knows how to be mobile and scramble. This is probably the most underrated part of his game. However, I would like him not to have to be so mobile. Why should the coaches, what should the coaches do to get our offensive line to work together as a unit? I don't know, Spencer, if the problem is not working together so much as the youth of the middle of the interior struggling, and primarily Jason Pinkston as a rookie and Sean Laval, who did not finish the game, but I think it's the growth process between those two. All right, we want to say some thank yous. We want to say thank you to Bernie Kosar and to Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, Kristen Rebelli, Pat McKenna, and to you, Dave DiNatale, our producer, for the great job tonight, like rocking out with that music. Talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll be right back.